Mike has FOM, the fear of missing McRib. So he cleared his calendar.
Yo, dude, backstage passes? Nah. Hey, babe, this weekend? Can't do it. What up? That sounds great, but count me out.
Do what you gotta do. Just don't miss the return of the sandwich, the myth, the legend, the McRib. Come into McDonald's today and get a delicious, saucy McRib sandwich, made even better with the one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper, the one you crave. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and this is Tough Talk Christian Radio. We're here out of Houston, Texas. And we're excited about today's show for a number of reasons, and we'll get into that. Let me just get some housekeeping out of the way. We're coming to you live from the Tough Talk Radio Network studios, and we have been on the air for, since 2008, and the Christian show has been on the air for almost 4 years. And I got to tell you, folks, it's always something exciting when I get on the air for the show. God just pours into us. He allows me to meet incredible guests that explain what they're doing around the world, across the country, in their neighborhoods, with the Lord's help, how they're helping others. And today is no different. We have a great show lined up, as we always do. We're going to be talking to a pastor here right outside of Dallas, which is, well, for most of my guests, this would be considered neighbors, because we're in about a four-hour ride from each other. So excited about that. We're excited about talking with Eric Willis here in a second. But I got to tell you some really great news. Yesterday, November 13th, 10:01 a.m., my youngest son had our first grandchild. Well, he didn't have it. But we are blessed. Just totally blessed and super excited. And it's hard to remove the smiles when you see a new child come in the world, especially if it's a grandchild. Just excited that everybody was made it through it healthy, including both sides of the family, because some of us know what that goes like. We're very blessed to have some great people on both sides of the baby. And super excited as an individual because, well, my son is Anthony Michael Gambone IV, and now our grandson is Anthony Michael Gambone V. Super excited to carry the name along. I mean, it's just exciting to see my grandfather's name carry through different generations and the different things that take place in each generation and some of the chains that have been broken through generations and some of the stuff that maybe we're still stuck on. So who out there understands the value of continuing the name of their ancestors? I know for me, I was raised in the Northeast, and that seems to be a big thing. It's a little different here in the South, not in a bad way. Everybody does things a little bit differently. That's what makes us all so great, is that we're individuals, and God has just blessed us with different opportunities. And for myself, He's blessed me with an opportunity to see how it's done differently than where I grew up, which doesn't make it right or wrong, good or bad, just makes it better, I think. It just gives us more opportunity to learn. And if we're learning, we know God is smiling. I believe that anyway. So last week I talked to you about letting go of the controls and let God lead us. Real tough situation to do because I think we were all born with a certain amount of control. And turning things over to the Lord is hard because we keep snatching them back or trying to snatch them back. And our reference to driving a new automobile maybe this year or in 5 years from now, where the car does everything for you. We take our hands and feet off the controls, and we are able to just sit back and enjoy the ride. And I think people will be super excited, especially if you drive in the Houston area during rush hour, to know that the guy alongside you has nothing to do with the controls, that everybody's just going to go at the same pace down the highway. But let's compare that to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and ourselves. Why are we not willing to just let go of the controls and allow God to put his GPS in action and bring us to the destiny that we're supposed to go to? Something to think about. I've mentioned it a few times to people throughout this week, and myself included. It sounds awesome, but it seems to be the challenge of the day, challenge of the week, maybe the challenge of your life. So if you have any thoughts on that, I'd like to hear you call in 347-989-1363. Press 1 in order to bring your question or your comparison or your thoughts to the show. Maybe you want to ask our guest, Mr. Eric Willis, some questions as well. I want to make sure that you know you can always get in touch with us through info@radionetwork.com. If you want to be a guest on the show, you can go to toughtalkchristianradio.com, select the next available date and that meets your schedule, and come and share what you're doing. Now, we're always looking for people who are sharing God's word. Some of you are pastors, some of you are just everyday folks, some are authors and speakers. We welcome everybody that has a story to tell about how God has worked in their life. Maybe God hasn't worked in your life and you need him too. We welcome that as well. So without wasting any more time, I want to bring up my guest today, Eric Willis, who serves as a pastor of minister development at Bent Tree Bible Fellowship in Carlton, Texas, where he oversees their network of church leaders and pastoral launching pad residency program. That's a lot to say, right? We're going to have Eric explain more of it to us. So without wasting any time, Eric Willis, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony. And man, congratulations on being involved.
That's awesome. You know, like I said, there's little things in life that happen that put a smile on your face. And if we could only stop time and stamp it and remember it in those days where we're not smiling, boy, life would be so much better. But anyway, Eric, mentioned that you're calling in from Carlton, Texas. Talked a little bit of your title, but let's find out a couple of things. Where are you from originally?
I am originally from Oklahoma City. I don't tell too many Texans that, you know, we have some sort of Red River rivalry up in these parts. But I'm originally from Oklahoma City. I've been in Texas pretty much my entire married life. So about 27 years worth.
So was it that Oklahoma was winning too many games or losing too many games and made you move?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's all good.
Yes, sir. So you have a great title, Pastor of Minister Development at Bent Tree Bible Fellowship. Can you explain? I mean, it sounds like you're in charge of everybody there. Could you explain a little bit of what your duty is?
Sure. Yeah, so I get the privilege of developing future pastors. So I train, equip, mentor, and help launch senior pastors into churches that are looking for pastors. So it's a 12-month residency program where we take seminary graduates who don't have much experience in church, but they have a seminary degree, and we give them the practical hands-on experience for 12 months, and then we launch them into ministry.
So if I decided to go get that degree and didn't know what direction to go into, you're the person that could not only train me, but direct me.
Yep, absolutely. And hopefully launch you out into a senior pastor when you're through the program.
That's awesome. Didn't even know they had something like that. That's very cool. I always wondered how you got from point A to point B, but I don't know that anyone's ever asked that question, at least I haven't. So that's pretty cool to know that that's happening right here in this area. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to have to start asking the people I know in church in those positions if you're the guy that made them as great as they are.
Yeah. They probably have a lot of other people that make them great.
All right. So I'm excited about today's conversation because we're talking about conflict. And in today's world, that word is probably has so many more definitions than it might have had six presidents ago, but we won't go down that road. But what I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to mention the website so people can get there as well as we're doing the show, reclaimleadership.org is where they can find out more information about you. But let's talk more about conflict. I mean, I have some bullet points here. Defining conflict through Christ followers' lenses.
Yes.
Can you... So I'm gonna play the other side of the coin here, being the slow to learn person. Could you explain it to someone like me what this means?
Yeah, absolutely. Because conflict happens to all of us. You know, there are three stages of conflict. We're either coming out of conflict, in the middle of it, or about to head into it. So we might as well be ready for it. And so defining conflict helps us when we're a believer in Jesus Christ, because what that relationship means is we have the indwelling of Christ within us. The power of God lives within us by the power of His Spirit. And so that should make a difference in how we approach conflict, interpersonal conflict with other people. And so I define conflict a little bit differently. Conflict is an inside-out progression, not an outside-in aggression. And what I mean by that is it's not about the circumstances around us. It's not about the words that someone said. It's not what they did to us that causes the conflict. The conflict comes from the meaning that we attach to what they said or what they did. So it's an inside-out progression, not an outside-in aggression. And because we have Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us on the inside, that means that we can have a different response to conflict.
Okay. It sounds easy enough, but as you know, probably better than me, a lot of things that we perceive or our expectations of something or how it's supposed to work has really not much to do with the outcome or the better part of that process. So I find the Lord and I come into it and life's just not full of chocolates and roses. There's a lot of work to do. And do you find that a lot of people assume in conflict that they're right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, there wouldn't be conflict.
Right.
So what I challenge people to understand is that it's not about who is right and who is wrong. It's about what is right. And so there's this concept of keeping things in perspective in conflict. And I don't know if one of your questions coming up has to do with the four filters that I've developed on how to filter conflict as a Christian. But the four filters speak to that process. That, yeah, there's work involved, but it's a spiritual work first.
Right. Okay. So let's walk into that, because I had to learn when I first had children. My wife was a great teacher to me. She taught me how to pick my battles, and you know, there's a couple funny jokes about that, but I really had to learn to pick my battles, what was really important. And then you're talking about conflict and there's filters, and we want to talk about those filters of conflict. But do you think a lot of people need to decide how, you know, like what's really important? Is that enough to be a conflict, or is it just something that they're holding on to themselves that's has nothing to do with the conflict that they're accusing someone else of? Or do you understand what I mean? Like,
great. Absolutely. Yeah. Great question. Most of the people that come to me when they're in conflict, they're asking me to help walk them through the Matthew chapter 18 process of confronting someone in conflict, which means, you know, go one-on-one. And if they don't listen, take another person along. So two of you go, and if they still don't listen, then, you know, there's this process that you go through Matthew 18 to confront someone in sin, and usually that's around conflict. Well, I tell people to push the brakes on diving into Matthew chapter 18 first. There's a proverb that says it is to a man's wisdom to overlook an offense. So if you are offended by someone, your immediate response is important. And I have a process for helping you think through how to engage the immediate response of conflict, but I'll show that in a moment. My point is that the first thing we ought to think about is this an offense that I can overlook? Because that's a biblical principle according to Proverbs. And so how do I know if I can overlook it or not? Well, is this issue something that is defaming the name of Jesus Christ? Is the witness of Jesus Christ at stake? If it is, we can't overlook this conflict. Secondly, is it causing harm to the individual? And if it is, then we can't overlook that. And then finally, is it causing harm to me personally, emotionally, physical harm? Then no, we can't overlook that. How you determine that also is to say, okay, is this just a personal preference of mine that I'm holding on to? Am I willing to fight for a personal preference, or is this really an offense that we need to deal with, or can we let it go?
So to me, it sounds like Christian counseling, basically. If someone is in this area of life, it might be, well, one thing I guess they could do is get your book. I mean, that would be the start, right? The Sacred Conflict Resolution Skills for the Follower of Christ. But sometimes when we read something, we understand it a way that's easier for us to be right versus wrong. So is it important as well to sit down with someone and, you know, I hate to say that we all need to see a psychologist, but I think we all need to see some type of counseling in our lives, because while the world's a dangerous place, we're taught to believe things that aren't true. We read the Bible to kind of suit our needs. And I think it's important if someone can stand out and go, excuse me, you're not reading that right, or maybe you're holding on to this too long. Should it be something that we get some counseling with as well?
You're exactly right, Tony. And matter of fact, that's a biblical concept in Psalms, where it tells us to seek wise counsel, surround ourselves with wise counsel. So whether that's a psychologist or a psychiatrist, I would say if they're biblical in nature, in the sense that they realize that there's power in the Holy Spirit and they can counsel you and point you back to Jesus, then yeah, surround yourself with counselors, not necessarily the paid kind, but those who love Jesus, love his word, and are willing to speak into you. That's critical.
And I know for myself, I do these shows every week, and I get fired up, you know, when I'm all done. I'm just smiling like, oh, I was just hanging out in heaven for a little while, kind of speaking, you know. And then I get back out of my studio, and I'm back in the world, and the flame starts to go down a little bit, and that ember just isn't as hot or flaming like it was an hour before, you know. So I find that if I can keep plugged in to other Christian men, that – some like-minded, you know, where we love Jesus, but more so that are open and willing to tell me that, hey, man, you're way out of line, or, hey, you're not looking at this properly. Do you think that that's an important issue as well? I mean, getting counseling from a Christian counselor is good. Being part of a small group or Bible study where you can lean on others is good. But when it comes to conflict, I mean, this is a little bit stronger situation that most people give up family life for, or ruin family, or, you know, the immediate fight just because of some thought that they think, you know, they were wronged, or however it is. And I heard you say, first look and see, you know, if it's against Jesus, basically. And if it's not against Jesus, then I guess you have to start looking inside to find out.
Yeah, it becomes a personal preference at that point. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So one thing to help is I have this concept that I share, you know, in the book, Sacred Conflict. I share the story of when I was a kid at my grandparents' farm, and 4th of July, and we're popping firecrackers and fireworks. And one of those fireworks went sideways, and it shot into the pasture over by the well house. And so me and my cousin jumped through the barbed wire fence. We're standing over this little smoldering fire that's about to kick up. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, okay, if I catch on fire, what am I supposed to do? Well, while I'm thinking about that, my cousin stomps out the fire, and we're, you know, out of danger. But I remembered in that moment what I was taught in school. And what were we all taught in school about if your clothes catch on fire, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Stop, drop and roll.
Yeah.
So stop, drop, and roll has the same connotation with conflict and the heat and the flames of conflict. And so what I challenge in the book is for us to consider that we stop the thoughts, drop the assumptions, and roll into action whenever conflict hits. And having friends around us, back to your point, Tony, having friends around us who can speak into us, who know us, will help us stop the thoughts and drop the assumptions. They'll be able to say, hey, man, you don't have the full picture here, I don't think, or you have your perspective, or have you thought about this? Oftentimes when we're in conflict, we try to surround ourselves with people who agree with us because we want to be right. So it's even more important to be surrounded by friends who will say the difficult things if they sense that you're off in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that's good stuff, and it's very important. I mean, if you ever take a look at the news, I think conflict is what sells the American public on watching the news channels. But this is really important stuff. I want to go back to your book. I want to go back to the first book that you wrote, okay? And I want to talk briefly about that because here is Breathing Space. Okay.
Yeah, Breathing Space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What made you decide to write the book? And tell us a little bit about the book.
Sure. Well, about 11 years ago, I founded a nonprofit organization called Reclaim Leadership that comes alongside pastors, missionaries who are on the verge of burnout, who are ready to throw in the towel and saying, if this is ministry, I don't want anything to do with it. And so over the past 11 years, as I've come alongside pastors and missionaries, what I have come to learn is a high percentage of the reason why they're on the verge of burnout, quitting ministry, is because of conflict that's happening in their churches or on their mission field. So that's why I focused on sacred conflict. The first book I wrote was called Breathing Space, and it was specifically written for those pastors and missionaries that came through the recalibration retreats that I was doing to really intentionally give them a process to slow down, to stop, to rest, to feed your own soul, because you're pouring yourself out in relationships all the time. And if you're not being refreshed, then burnout's just right around the corner. That's true regardless of whether you're a paid pastor, a bivocational pastor, or a Sunday school teacher, or what. If you're involved in church activity at any level, you have the capacity to burn out if you're not replenishing. So I wrote Breathing Space with the intent and the purpose. It's kind of like a devotional thought. There's actually more white space than words in that book because I want it to be a workbook that you sit down with your Bible, you sit down with your heart open to what the Lord may want to show you through His Word, and then I ask some questions, and you dive into a journaling process to go through Breathing Space.
So we're going to get to the book that you currently wrote, Sacred Conflict, but there's a question that keeps coming to me. What you do seems very, very, very important because You know, I love to watch speakers, just all types of speakers. And whether it's a father talking to his children, to his wife, a pastor to his congregation, the person introducing the pastor, or just someone speaking on TV, I like to watch their actions. I'm trying to see how transparent they are. And at the age of 62, I know that at the age of 30, 40, 50, and 60, things change in life. And I'm assuming now, and I could be wrong, but people get into ministry at a young age, and they put their heart and soul into it, and they just want to do the best job possible. And sometimes that's probably to their, well, it's probably not as good as they might think. It might do more harm for them. Because what you're telling me is they're not finding balance in their mission, so to speak. Just like a father who has a job that he puts more time at his job than in his home. He's not finding that balance. So he's getting burned out. And when he comes home, he takes it out on his family. So with doing this with pastors, teaching pastors this, first question that comes into my mind, what brought you to this place? How did you end up with this title? I mean, you've had to do some great stuff to be recognized as someone that can be in charge of sending people out to speak God's words and have some sort of a balance.
Yeah. Can you tell us how you got there? Yeah. Yeah, it's been a life of experience. I was actually in ministry as a young, late teens, early 20s. Became disillusioned with the church, experienced conflict, and I actually did say, God, if this is ministry, I don't want anything to do with it. And I threw my Bible on a shelf. I resigned my youth pastor position. I dropped out of college where I was studying religion, and I said, forget you, God. I don't want anything to do with you. And I ran away from God for 2 years, and it was the two most miserable years of my life. And as I look back at that, you know, God never left me. My relationship with God had been hurt from my perspective, but from God's perspective, I was still his child and I was deeply loved. Even during those 2 years of me doing things and involved in things that aren't becoming of a pastor, much less a Christian. And so I thought I had been disqualified from serving God. When I came to my senses at the end of that 2 years, like the prodigal son in the pig pen moment, when I came to my senses, I thought for sure that God could never use me in ministry again. And I told him that. I will love you forever, God, but I know that because of what I am coming out of, you can never use me again. And he reminded me that I'm not disqualified from serving God. I'm pre-qualified for serving him. Because of what I experienced, I can now look into the eyes of someone across the table who's on the verge of throwing in the towel, of leaving ministry, of having sinned and come to a place of repentance. And I can communicate to them God's incredible mercies that are new every day, his grace that overwhelms them every moment of every day. That sin is identifiable, but it's not our identity. Our identity is solid in Jesus Christ. And so, yes, we were at one point sinners saved by grace. But because we're learning to grow up and mature in our faith, we are now saints who sometimes sin. So our identity is not in what we've done. Our identity is in who Jesus is and what he did on the cross. Man, Tony, now I'm preaching. So
yes, you are, sir. You keep going, too, because this is good. God just speaks through me in a lot of ways when I do this radio show. But I know in order to be good at something like this, you have had to take the journey. I mean, I think God has a crazy sense of humor, but he never quits on us. He just... finds a way to show us how important what we thought was wrong is for the purpose of serving him. It's crazy, but you have to get down the road a certain amount of distance before you can look back and go, oh, I get it, you know, but yeah. It's a struggle. It's a real struggle.
It is, and it can be. And, you know, Ephesians 3:20 is one of my favorite verses. I call it my hindsight verse. Now to him who's able to do exceeding abundantly more than we could even ask or imagine, according to his power that's within us. And it's talking about all praise to Jesus and glory to his name. I call that the hindsight verse because we have to get through some muck and some mire and some stuff in our life to look back to see how faithful God was to us. And so I think, you know, living life a little bit and having been redeemed, I went back and finished college, and then I went on to seminary, and I've got a couple of master's degrees, one of them in counseling for the purpose of being able to minister to ministers and pastors and missionaries. So God made it clear what he wanted me to do. And part of that is writing books like Breathing Space and Sacred Conflict and helping us come to terms with what's it really look like to live out what we believe.
This is good stuff, Eric. This is really good stuff because, well, anyone that's getting closer to God on a daily basis understands the struggles of getting closer to God on a daily basis. I mean, it just seems hard, and only because of we get in our own way, whether we can't forgive ourselves even though God has forgiven us, or we don't know the value of what we've done that's going to help others. There's just a whole list of stuff. And to have someone like you explain that you gave up, you threw in the towel, you threw in the Bible, so this is it, I'm done with it. And then come back, not because you necessarily wanted to, it's just God has a stronger strength in us. And now you're able to use that to bring people across the country, to bring people to Christ. I mean, that's just incredible. I'm excited about that. And I want to talk about, because we're running out of time here, and I think I could talk to you for a couple of days. I have so many questions here. You've been married for 27 years, and you have 5 children, all boys. How blessed are you?
All boys.
Yeah, yes, I mean, only because it's a crazy world for children, for girls. And anyway, so I'll get past the dad part of that. But how old is your oldest boy?
25. He's married, been married for a couple of years now, and we've yet to have our first grandchild. So I'm kind of jealous of you there, Tony.
Well, don't be, because I'm way more jealous of you. I found the Lord at the age of 52, 2010. And so, you know, I'm still in the journey of understanding, which I think we all are, but at a lower level. Anyway, my question to you is, all this is taking place now. I don't even know if our children know what's coming down the road, but I think that you're helping generations in front of you to understand the value of throwing in the book and coming back off the shelf. I mean, that's, to me, right there is just awesome, just for your children alone. But I want to get back to your book, because I want to make sure that people get out there and buy the book, okay? And you can get it on Amazon. You can buy it on the website, reclaimleadership.org. And it's got some great reviews. It's just, conflict is something that everyone deals with. If you're saying that you don't have conflict in your life, well, I'm going to just be honest with you. You're lying. And so you really need to take advantage of this book. And I've been reading through some of the stuff on Amazon here. You can check it out there and you can get a little peek at it. Okay. I highly recommend this book. One, a question is, can this book be used for a Bible study?
Yeah, absolutely. And in addition to the Bible study, it can be used for great discussion in a group. And remember, we started this conversation with surrounding yourself with wise counsel and friends who will speak into you. This would be ideal for a group of friends.
Okay. All right. I like that. You just gave me the reason to buy the book. I'm on Amazon right now. And, folks, you can get it in Kindle, hardcover, paperback, whatever it is you want. You can, if you're in the Dallas area, I highly recommend looking Eric up and meeting him. I know that I come up there about every 60 days. I have some friends up there. I used to do some speaking up there as well. And I can tell you, Eric, I'm going to reach out to you to get a cup of coffee when I'm up there because, well, I'm really impressed with what you've been called to do. And I know that I go to a church here in town called Hope City, a pastor, Jeremy Foster. And what I love about Jeremy Foster is his transparency. And I think that what you're telling me is the same thing. You are able to work with people because you didn't read about it, you lived it. And I think that when you can bring that out, that's when you're grabbing people's hearts one by one and bring them to the Lord because, well, there's just no other way to explain it. People need to see the truth, and they can't experience it unless you're telling the truth. And it's very, very much recognized here. So I know we're out of time, but I got to ask you a couple more questions. What is something that you would tell people 2018, some advice to leave behind, just a nugget of what they should try to do when it comes to conflict, besides buy your book?
Yeah. In addition to buying my book, I would say ask yourself one question. Whenever you're thinking through conflict or a situation that you're facing, ask yourself this question. What's the most loving and gracious thing I can say or do in this moment? What's the most loving and gracious thing I can say or do in this moment? That's not a question that typically comes to mind when we're in conflict. It's usually, how can I win this argument? Don't ask that question. Ask, what's the most loving and gracious thing I can say or do in this moment for the other person?
I'm going to recommend people write that down on a 3x5 card and keep them on it somewhere as an advisor of their car, maybe their notebook, their briefcase, their desk, because you're right. That's the last thing we look for. We're too busy trying to win the argument. And if you're married out there and you're having a conflict with your spouse, I know that's hard to believe, but you should have that printed somewhere quickly, because we never win that argument. Anyway, so one last thing, Eric. Do you have any more books coming out?
I am working on a couple of more ideas. So we'll see. I'm also working on my doctorate degree in organizational leadership to help churches work through church splits and conflict that they face. So I'm doing a lot of academic writing right now, but I do plan on putting some more work out there.
Okay. Well, we're going to be looking forward to that. And I want to be reaching back out to you to get a cup of coffee. And I'd like to get you back on the show. I'm going to be doing, after the first of the year, some hour-long shows. There's just so much here to go over that I want to make sure that we have another opportunity to touch base again.
It'd be my honor.
Thank you, sir. I so much appreciate being blessed with your presence today. I wish you so much success. I know the Lord's working. And just don't forget us when you get to the top of the ladder. Okay, reach down and grab a hold.
You got it, Tony.
We appreciate you.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Thank you. Folks, that's the end of our show. But I got to tell you, you need to go to the website, okay, and you need to purchase the book, reclaimleadership.org, okay? Sacred Conflict. Pick up the book. You can get it on Amazon. If you're not sure, if you don't believe me, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll buy the book back from you if you don't like it. Get the book, check it out, and email me, info@toughtalkradionetwork.com. If you want to meet Eric, I'll personally introduce you to him. That's our show for today. I hope you join in every week, and I hope that you will take a minute and think about what we talked about in the beginning of the show. Two things. One, surround yourself with like-minded, loving people that will tell you the truth. And this is my thing for this year. I hope you will think about taking the hands and feet off the controls of your body and allow Jesus to drive you to the destination he's trying to take you to. Think about it. Hard to do, but work with me on it. Let us know how you're making out. My name is Tony Gambone. This is Tough Talk Christian Radio, and we hope that you will join us every week. Have a blessed week.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.